Hi, it's Leah down here from OCI Radio on 101.6 FM for the Costa del Sol and 94.6 FM for the Costa Blanca. You're all very welcome to the show today. And indeed, you're all very welcome to the show today. Now, my guests in the studios are Martin and Marion Sheeran from Elite Clinics in Fuengirola, and they have brought back their guest, Rachel Jameson. Rachel, you're very welcome back, as are Martin and Marion. You're all very welcome this morning,
Thank you. Afternoon,
whenever.
Hi, good to be here.
Absolutely. Now, I think we're going to call this Rachel's story, actually, because we started last week with the first part. Rachel was a bulimic for 15 years. Was it 15, yeah?
That's right.
It's an awful long time. An awful, as I said last week, it's a miracle you're sitting here with us today.
It's actually half my life, 15
yeah,
years.
Really, so, yeah. That's amazing, yeah. Isn't it? My God. You must feel so good today, do you?
I do. I never imagined that I would feel like this.
Yeah, really, yeah. And we haven't got, in your story, we haven't got there yet. We're still in the early stages. Just taking us back, reminding people a little bit about bulimia in itself. This binging and purging. Maybe tell us a little bit more about that, because it's very hard to believe for people like ourselves who don't suffer from it. It's very hard to believe. Like, I might eat an extra couple of slices of bread or whatever, but you're talking about vast amounts of food. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, bulimia can take different forms. Some bulimics simply purge when they feel like they've eaten much, which is how I started, but it very quickly deteriorated into eating very, very large amounts of food. When I would shop for binges, which...
Yeah, tell us about that.
I'd shop for binges with the only intention of bringing it all back up again.
So would you be thinking about, well, I won't buy that because that would be too hard to bring back and stuff like that? Is that the way it works, or...?
It started off being very selective with the foods I would eat, and then eventually it was just anything. As long as it went in, it would come back out again.
She wasn't that desperate.
Sure. And
so you wouldn't have enjoyed shopping. You wouldn't have enjoyed, you know, the way we go to the supermarket and buy, you know, wander around and buy all the stuff that, you know.
I shop different. I specifically shop for binge foods.
Which in itself was not a nice thing, so you couldn't have got any joy out of it.
No, but I didn't care, like I said before, once it went in, as long as it came out again. The amounts of food that I was binging on, I would go to the supermarket and maybe get two bags of shopping, loads of bread, boxes of cereal, milk, anything that would go in, and routinely eat the food and then purge it, and eat the food and purge it. Sometimes
what a life.
Sometimes up to 15 or 16 times a day.
Mother sweet geraniums, really. That's just like, it's just incredible, though, isn't it?
It's hard to believe now, even the financial shortcomings.
Absolutely.
If I ran out of money and I couldn't shop for binge foods, I would just eat whatever I could lay my hands on.
And is this normal, Martin, this kind of behaviour, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether Rachel have experienced, but I've met other bulimics that actually would go out to shops and buy out-of-date food, food that was on the edge of being not fit for human consumption.
Because it's a bit cheaper, isn't it?
Yeah, and they weren't really bothered. It's only going to be in our body for 15, 20 minutes, then it's coming straight out again.
Jeez.
And so they would literally go and buy off food. I know people that have gone to the back of bakeries where they've sort of dumped food that was not suitable and not fit for human consumption, just taken it away in carry bags, black bin bags, used it to binge because they're just going to purge it straight away again. It's very extreme to see. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I don't know whether Rachel ever did, but it's like they was looking for very budget food. They didn't mind if it's past the sell-by date.
Well, you know, a lot of the big supermarkets, they have, like, you know, the last minute. If you go at the end of the day, they have these kind of last minute offers, don't they? You know, that everything's just on the borderline. Like,
You know, you and I would be looking for. We'd be looking for malt bread, looking for fresh bread. And
the furthest date away, you know.
That's right. Yeah. But the bulimic is, look, their criteria for shopping is exact opposite to us. And they're just looking for anything just to fill and then empty. And is that, I don't know if that was Rachel.
God, we take so many things for granted, don't we, though? Like, just listening to you now, I go off to the supermarket, wander around, you know, get me a bottle of wine, and, you know, sort of, you know. And this, it must have been hell.
Well, this is a thing. When I was in, as I would call it, binge mode. In other times, I'd do the same as, you know, any normal person, browse the shops and...
Oh, so you went through phases, yeah?
I would have one time that I'd go shopping for binge foods and the other time that I'd go shopping for normal everyday things, like two different people. And
and was there anything like that kind of set you off? You know, because if you were having these, you know, this dual lifestyle, what would push you? You know, what would push you towards the binging?
At the start, certain things would trigger it, such as a bad day, maybe a remark that someone had made if I was upset. It was always triggered by that. But as the years went on, it became almost, well, a necessity.
You didn't need an excuse.
It was just everyday life. It was just normal for me.
When did you realise that you needed help? Or was it you that realised it, or did somebody push you into it, or how did it work?
Because
it's a long time, like 5 years
knew,
now.
I always knew that something, what I was doing wasn't right, but I was able to get away with it, I suppose. Yeah. Because it wasn't, apart from the weight loss, it wasn't a serious issue, because I could get away with it. I was a pretty normal teenage girl who was losing a bit of weight here and there, with a very abnormal way of existing at the time.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Did you ever, you never had a confidant, somebody you could sort of pour your heart out to?
No, that was part of the problem, yeah, because I was bottling things up.
Yeah, because I'm sure,
so
yeah.
My release was
that.
Purging it
yeah,
out,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Emptying myself, I suppose.
So when did the day come, or was it you that came to the decision, or, you know, when you realised that you needed help, professional help, like...
Well, I went to the doctor and admitted what was going on. I've seen several doctors who told me that I was depressed.
Is it like any other addiction that, if, you know, like you get caught up in it and if you don't want to give it up, you can't? Like smoking or alcohol or any other kind of addiction? You have to face up to it yourself, like?
Sure, I mean, that's right. But the difficulty, I think, with bulimia is food is such an everyday part and very necessary part of life. It's not like you can go cold turkey and never eat again. That's what it's...
Yeah, true.
You know,
yeah,
it's in life.
It's much more complex.
It's acceptable. It's very...
It's what you do, isn't it? Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just abstain completely. So.
Yeah. So,
but the difficulty there for me was treating food normally, because I knew I had the power within me to get rid of any food I wanted very easily.
Yeah.
So I couldn't find the line at the time, and that's where it became more difficult.
So you went yourself to the doctor, did you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what did he say to you? You're depressed, yeah?
I'm depressed. He didn't really know much about it. He immediately weighed...
He should have done. You're young enough. It's not like, you know what I mean? He should have known. Yeah.
He weighed me. I wasn't particularly underweight. Which is why it can go undetected for a long time, I think, because it's not as...
Except you were going through your own private hell, weren't you?
Yeah. I was, but I was also very embarrassed as well. I said that I was making myself sick, but I didn't say that I was going through 5 loaves of bread in a sitting.
I suppose, yeah.
Because, yeah, I was humiliated by what I was doing, and I thought I was the only person in the world that was doing it.
Yes.
I knew other girls made themselves sick, but not to the extent of... What I was doing.
Okay, right. So, sorry, Mark.
No, I was going to say, it's sort of embarrassing that people go to the GP, and the GP either doesn't know what to do or doesn't know how to do it. Because I know from talking to Rachel, and she's no different to any other bulimic, that, you know, Rachel got to a point, as many do, where she was purging so much that she was actually purging blood because her throat was constantly bleeding.
But she must have been. Hair
stops growing completely, sometimes falls out. The loss of the enamel on the teeth means that people as young as like 18, 19 are losing all their teeth and having dentures.
Cheaper.
Periods normally stop for 3, 4, 5, even as long as 10
years. Was this all happening
years.
To you, Rachel? Yeah.
But the medical professionals, they don't know much about it, and, you know, have an antidepressant.
I have to say I find that hard to believe now. I mean, Rachel's a young girl. It's not like she's 90.
Certainly.
Like, you know, you're young. It's
like
bulimia
us.
Has been around for a while. I think you might have been unlucky with the doctor you went to as well, were you?
I think he didn't pick up on it.
I
think I was. I mean, I've seen several doctors, and some of them are very sympathetic.
Yeah.
On the NHS, at least, there's referrals to be made to see psychiatrists or therapy. There's often a very long waiting list.
Which, of course, you could do without, really, in under those circumstances.
And because they're quite limited with the resources, it tends to be, if you're very underweight or dangerously low weight
or they're pushed to the front.
So, but because I was seen to be normal and healthy enough.
So what happened after your medical visits then? You know, what happened next?
I felt very deflated.
Yeah.
Because they didn't seem to... I wasn't telling them everything and they didn't seem to understand how to help me. I was told about dietitians and food diaries and weight charts, which just seemed to put the emphasis all on food again, but in a different way. And I immediately thought, oh, I'm going to put on lots of weight and then they're going to say, you're better, and that'd be it.
Yeah, and you knew it was more deep-rooted than that, yeah?
Well, it was becoming an addiction rather than just a lifestyle choice.
Exactly, So tell us, when did you, I believe you went away to South Africa, was it?
Yeah, that was only last year, like I said, various times I've sought help and different therapies. My family were getting increasingly scared and frustrated.
Do they know the full circumstances of what was going on at this stage?
They did from the last couple of years. Just because I'd lost jobs, I'd lost friends, I was moving about, my health. And my mental health at this point was...
So apart from medical help, you say you went to see counsellors, yeah?
Yeah.
You went for some counselling, yeah. How did that work out?
It was good to, I suppose, talk to somebody else, but I never really connected with any of these counsellors because they had a very set method.
Yeah.
Like say food diaries and weight charts.
Yeah,
and
it really doesn't work. If you don't connect, you can may as well be...
Well, they were very centred in what I should be doing and what should be happening. And I already knew what I should be doing.
Yeah, I know,
I was very aware of that the older I got. But I suppose I just was that in very deep with it that, it just wasn't helping me.
Exactly, So what came next?
Like I said, I went overseas because my family had talked and spoken to the doctor, and my partner at this point was getting increasingly frustrated with the situation. Everybody was just very worried.
So you were in a relationship now at this stage, yeah? What on earth did he think of all this carry on?
Well, previously I'd been in nearly a 2-year relationship. And that ended because of the bulimia.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Not because he was ashamed of me being bulimic, but in his words, I suppose, he couldn't see me destroying myself in front of him.
Yeah,
he was scared about what was going
to
happen.
It must be very difficult, sure. To see somebody that you love, doing this to themselves. Of course, you couldn't do anything about it. It was all out of control at this stage, yeah?
Yeah, completely out of control.
Yeah. Okay. So you're with this new partner and he was finding the same thing, was he?
Yeah, it was just history repeating itself.
Yeah. Did you not feel your... because you were so out of control, here we go again, is there nothing I can do about it?
I knew I was hurting the people around me. I tended to block it out. I thought, if I think they're all right, they're all right. By this point, I'd explain the bulimia to them and almost convince them, as I convinced myself, that I needed to do it.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
By that point, I needed to binge, I needed to be sick. That was, everything was going to be all right.
Yeah.
But obviously they'd read up on it themselves and they realised that I was killing myself.
Yeah, bit by bit. Slowly but surely, yeah.
Sure.
Unbelievable. So. Okay, listen, we're running out of time, I'm afraid, Rachel, again, but we will continue your story next week about the treatments and the success story, because there is success at the end of this.
There is, isn't there?
In case our listeners are losing hope at this stage. So listen, we've been speaking to Rachel Jamieson, who's been a bulimic for 15, who was, should I say, a bulimic for 15 years. Martin Sheeran from Elite Clinics, and Marion is in the background there, keeping very quiet, I might add. Just observing.
That's right.
In her role as...
Listening carefully.
Okay, Martin, do you want to add anything just before we head off there?
No, I think it'd be very interesting for people to hear just what happened in the residential care that Rachel undertook in South Africa. All the thousands of pounds it cost and just how unsuccessful it was, really.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah. As I say, then, we were speaking to Elite Clinics. Just remind people where you are.
Right, Marion will tell you that.
Marion, come on, say something, Marion.
Okay, we're in Calle España, which is just off the Plaza de la Constitución in the centre of Fuengirola, and we're diagonally opposite the main post office.
Rightio, and their phone number there, if you want to pop in. All first consultations, I believe, are free, aren't they? Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, that's right. Everybody's welcome to come along for a completely free consultation, with no obligation to go ahead with treatment if they don't feel that we're right for them. That's not a problem. Everybody's welcome.
Okay. So listen, the phone number there is 951-311-591. That's 951-311-591. If you want to find out more about Elite Clinics, they have a website. It's all the W's, eliteclinics.com. That's all the W's, eliteclinic.com. Okay, so we'll talk to you all next week. Rachel, again, thank you so much for coming down. I'm sure this isn't easy for you, but you're very good to share your story with us. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
And that was Rachel Jameson. She will be back with us to continue on with her story next week.